Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yes, that lion forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yeah.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio.
Chris McMonagle here with you on the Fan 202 here on this Thursday morning. I got you for the next 3 hours. We take you till the warm-up show at 5 a.m. 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. And again, as we do every single morning here, we got you for 3 hours taking your calls. What's different? I know we take your calls every morning. What's different? What could be different about this morning? Oh, that's right. Our baseball team's won. We'll get to the NBA draft and exactly what the Nets are thinking. Another name for the Knicks coaching search, but let's talk about our two winning baseball teams. How about that? As the Mets are now only a half a game out of first place, the New York Yankees, the Rays never seem to lose, and they stay a game up with a win in Cincinnati. And let's, you know what? Let's talk about the impetus of both of these wins here. What's the driving force between both of these Yankee and Met wins? Now, clearly, both teams struggling. The disaster of last night, two nights ago, with the Yankees blowing a game. Both teams up 3-0. What a disaster of a night it was. Followed up by a solid couple of games here for the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. And for me, it's about the two teams and the two players who were brought here in the offseason to change everything. And yes, for me, watching the Met game, we got to talk about it for a second. Let's just talk about it for a second before we get into Soto and we get into Max Fried. These two guys who were brought here to make an impact. Max Fried has been everything you could possibly want a starting pitcher to be. And last night, both defensively, shutting down the Cincinnati Reds, giving this Yankee team a chance for the offense to finally wake up a little bit. Still a bunch of problems. Still lack of execution with runners on scoring position. But especially early in this game, you wanted to pull your hair out. Bases loaded. And only nobody out. They get one run in. And eventually they come through, jazzed with the home run and everything. And with the New York Mets, obviously Juan Soto and the multiple home run game. But let's just start with Jeff McNeil for a second because I've killed him. Right? We have killed Jeff McNeil. I've been down on Jeff McNeil. I don't like him in center field. Against good pitching, I know that's a narrative I sometimes push against, but it feels like he's had a bunch of hits against the lousy teams. When it comes to the Atlanta Braves, as they've now finally snapped their five-game losing streak against the Atlanta Braves, I felt like he doesn't show up in these games. And Jeff McNeil, to me, as big as the home runs were from Juan Soto, and clearly he is now carrying this team. And I talked about it at Fanatics Fest, about it's time for him. We all know he's having a good June, but it's time for him to really make an impact. And unfortunately, they're losing for a lot of his impact. But clearly now we're seeing a major impact. But Jeff McNeil and that catch, if they fall behind 2-0 and they give up a home run to Ozuna there in that inning, and immediately Clay Holmes gives up that two-run home run, immediately they're down 2-0 off of last night's debacle, blowing a three-run lead, that game and the tenor of that game feel completely different. And Jeff McNeil, who is not a center fielder, who won't kill you out there, but is not someone you feel overly good about playing center field. And not only does he make just, because we know how good an athlete he is, right? We understand he can play multiple positions. He's played left field a lot. He can play second base. And he does it all relatively well. He's a pretty good second baseman defensively. He's been an okay outfielder. But you know he's a good athlete, capable of things. And if there's like an instinctual play, if he has to come in and make a dive, if he has to do something like that, you can understand, hey, he's just an athlete making an instinctual play. This is, if you watched him make that catch, it's not the greatest home run, Robbie, you've ever seen. He doesn't go above and beyond and take it, you know, turn backwards and rip it from 6 feet over the wall. But if you watch that play, that is as good a timed catch. He knew that, for someone who doesn't play center field all that often, obviously, he knew that building and that area of the outfield perfect. And he timed it. You watch him. He times it absolutely. He slows his speed down. He takes his stride. He leaps at just the right time, puts his foot into the wall, and makes a huge, I think you could argue, game-saving catch. This team has been proven with runners in scoring position. I know Juan Soto's not affected by it. I understand that. And he's killed the Atlanta Braves. He's had great numbers against the Atlanta Braves, and he's put on a show here in the month of June. But the rest of this team, there is, without doubt, you can't even argue it, against the Atlanta Braves, there is something. There is some sort of element of this team doesn't believe things will go well. Pete Alonso still struggling. I know he got a hit, but still struggling. Lindor clearly still struggling. And the rest of this offense not being able to come through, and the Atlanta Braves getting whatever they want. Whether it's jumping out early, whether it's coming from behind, they have beat this Met team every which way. And if that ball is gone, and if Clay Holmes gives up another home run after not giving up home runs for the first, 10 starts of the season, whatever it was, and now he's kind of given up some home runs here, gives up a home run later in the game. If he and the Mets fall behind 2-0 on that play, this game looks completely different. Completely different. And for him to be able to time that the way he did, for him to go out there, for this team to be juggling pieces as we're waiting for Vientos, who's going to be back later today, and we'll see what the move is, whether it's Mauricio or Young. I would think it's probably Mauricio getting sent back down after he had a nice game, a home run, obviously, which was a big spot to put them up 1-0. And he's looked overmatched at times, but he does come through with three hits. And you believe in the talent. You believe in the raw power. And hopefully he can find himself in AAA with enough at-bats and enough seasoning to the next time we see him in a Met uniform, he'll be a little bit more ready for the moment. But that home run, that robbery from McNeil changes the entire complexity of that game. And in the manner in which he did it, he didn't just run to the wall and jump up. He knew exactly what he was doing. He timed it perfectly. That is an incredible play from an inexperienced center fielder and a guy we've all dogged. Even if you're a Met fan, we've all dogged him. I know me and Fleegs have dogged him. I know Evan has dogged him. We are not the biggest Jeff McNeil fans. I'm still not. But that is a game-changing play early on. And then it allows Juan Soto and the rest of this Met offense to breathe. It's a moment that creates the excitement, creates the element of things aren't going to go against us tonight. That's the kind of play that changes the narrative of how everything is gone between these two teams. That is an enormous play. And if the Mets take off from here on out, which is plausible, I know we're down on both these teams, but the season is not over. And all it takes is a play like that. All it takes is a game like last night. They go on and win later today, and suddenly they split a four-game series, and you don't feel so bad. And they're picking things up, and Juan Soto, as you know, we're going to talk about here, is starting to carry this team, right? He's the first Met player in history to have 10 home runs and 20 walks and 20 RBIs or whatever it is. He's absolutely killing the ball. Multiple home runs last night. The youngest player ever, or the most multi-home run games from any player in history under the age of 27. This is why you got him. And we're finally seeing it. We're finally seeing it completely. Like, the peacock has completely been unveiled. We are seeing every feather. This is what Juan Soto is. And you can see the difference. And this is why when people got on, people like me, and I wasn't necessarily saying we would never see this version. We weren't for the first month. It was okay to say for the first 2 months of the season, we weren't seeing this. We weren't seeing this body language. We weren't seeing this kind of play. This is who Juan Soto is. Every bit of what you're seeing in these games as he is having one of the better months any Met player has ever had. This is what you expected from the jump, and you didn't get it. And that's okay. They were actually playing better. It's frustrating. The most frustrating part of all this is that despite last night, they're still not winning at the level you would like for the month of June as he started to carry you. But clearly Juan Soto right now, between the Jeff McNeil home robbery and the Soto multiple home runs and what he's being capable of doing right now and what you're seeing him in all of his glory, from the body language, from how excited he is in the post-game press conference, like everything, you're just starting to see Juan Soto wake up, become himself. And for whatever the reason is, and I'm not the kind of guy who's it's because he missed the Yankees or because of anything else, but this guy was brought here on the biggest contract in the history of North American sports. This guy was brought here to carry this team. This guy was brought here to change them from a very good, solid team that in many ways overachieved last year and got to an NLCS, to bring them to World Series caliber team, a team that can win a championship, a team that can beat the Dodgers, and oddly enough, they have, despite this last 2 weeks of losing. And now you're seeing every bit of that throughout the entire month. And in this game, those home runs.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And what he's meant to this team, you're hoping, is what carries you out of it. And that's what these guys are there for. And then you turn to the New York Yankees. That's what Max Fried was brought here for. Max Fried, who signed an 8-year deal that many scoffed at. Certainly, I'm sure somewhere, you know, deep in the Mets office, David Stearns was sitting up, sipping a martini, smoking a cigar in a smoker's jacket, thinking, who the hell would give this kind of money to Max Fried? And I understand why. And hopefully, you know, I don't want to be Boomstradamus, but obviously, hopefully he stays healthy. We know the course of starting pitchers here in Major League Baseball, and we understand why the Mets do what they do. But a lot of people mock the idea of the 8-year contract, and we'll see how that entire contract plays out. But this is why. This is why I was critical of the Mets in some ways, and this is why you go out and sign a Max Fried, because this Yankee team, off of the game last night, where Rodon couldn't come out for the 7th because he was tired. And if that's still a conversation, we'll have it at 888-808-1019. I don't know how it's still a conversation. I thought the conversation ended when Rodon came out and said he was exhausted, but apparently that upset people too. But as Rodon couldn't go into the 7th, as the bullpen blew another game, as the Yankees lost another series, as we all had question marks about who this team is and what they're capable of and the offense and everything else, they threw their ace on the mound yesterday. And this guy is pitching to an under one ERA off of Yankee losses. He has had 9 starts. They are 8-1. He's pitching to an under one ERA. And he has been everything you could have possibly wanted out of Max Fried. He has stepped in. And I would tell you, as much as we love Gerrit Cole and what he's done here, and Max Fried still has a ways to go to be the same type of Yankee that Gerrit Cole has been since 2020. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know if we have seen a stretch, and he won a Cy Young. I don't know if we've seen a stretch out of Gerrit Cole that's been this good and this consistent. And right now, this Yankee team was in desperate need of a big-time star, desperate need of an ace being on the mound and the confidence that goes with that. And even early on in this game, they get the bases loaded. They only get one run. They get in, you know, still 7 strikeouts from a below average pitcher. It's one thing when the phenom of Burns comes in and strikes out 7 of his first 8 hitters or whatever embarrassment it was. It's another when Singer comes in there and he's striking out 7 guys. Early on, this game looked a lot like it has many games have over the last 2 weeks. Jazz hits the big home run. They settle in. The offense keeps adding on. But along that, you know, Cincinnati's not getting anything done against Max Fried. And last night, he was locating everything. He had that big breaking ball on the outside corner to left-handed bat to right-handed batters who they threw a bunch at him. Like, this guy and that contract and this signing and this addition, and we've talked a lot about it, the pivot and Juan Soto, and obviously it's kind of all interconnected between the two because the Yankees don't have Max Fried if Juan Soto is on the roster. If Juan Soto is playing right field for the New York Yankees this year, Max Fried isn't on this team. And without Gerrit Cole and without Luis Gil and with the state of this rotation outside of it, I don't know where the Yankees would be right now without Max Fried. He has been everything you wanted from an ace. He is pitching as well as we have seen a Yankee pitch in this uniform in a long time. And it is a safety net, as really the entire starting pitching has been pretty good throughout this stretch of losing, and that's what's funny about it too. Like, what's funny, the dichotomy of these two teams off of, you know, 2 nights ago. Last night, they both score 7 and win. 2 nights ago, they both blow 3-run leads. While they're going through this stretch, you've got Juan Soto having an incredible June while still losing. The New York Yankees are still, you know, despite some of their injuries, having excellent starting pitching throughout this and still losing. Like, both of these teams have been going through it in slightly different but a lot of similar ways. Some of the team performing well and some of the team obviously struggling. But, I mean, we have seen Juan Soto have one of the best months any Met has ever had, yet they still are in a stretch where they've won, you know, 2 out of 12. And the Yankees starting pitching has Clark Schmidt, who's now not recovering from his last start. We can get into that, as everybody wanted him to go out there and try and throw a no-hitter past 105 pitches. And now they're pushing him back and giving him an extra day as he's struggling to, you know, recover from that start. But he's on, what, 26 consecutive scoreless innings. Rodon has been doing what he's been doing the whole year. Max Fried, as we've been talking about, has been their ace and stopper and exactly what they need. You've got Will Warren leading all rookies in strikeouts. Like, this starting pitching has continued to be really good despite the losing. And Juan Soto is having one of the best months that we've ever seen despite the losing. And it is, you know, as you look at it last night, it's the McNeil catch. It's the Soto homers. It's Soto dragging this team out of the doldrums, and more than that, giving them life against the Atlanta Braves. It's the stopper that was signed, these two contracts in the offseason. Juan Soto left the New York Yankees. He signed this enormous deal with the New York Mets. He is supposed to be the driving force, and for 2 months he wasn't. And now he is. And last night, a game they desperately needed, he's there for them with multiple home runs, the most ever from a kid under 27 years old. And the New York Yankees pivot off of losing Juan Soto and go out there and spend big money and give a long-term deal to a starting pitcher who's had some injury issues, and we'll see how good the contract age is, but right now has been everything for this team. Sometimes the big contracts work. Sometimes you're not, you know, desperate to get rid of money. Sometimes it pays off. And watching these two guys right now carry their teams through a stretch where they're not performing, giving them wins they're in desperate need of, in the Yankees trying to hold on to first place and the Mets trying to get back into first place against their enemy, against the team that had won 5 in a row, you get a great catch from McNeil, and then you have Soto carrying the offense. And for the New York Yankees, you have Jazz, who's been hot as a firecracker since coming back from his injuries. You have the offense finally coming through a little bit, but it's all the baseline of Max Fried being an ace, being a stopper, being everything this team could want. And those two contracts in the offseason are paying off here in their moments of desperation. And that's what you get them for. You don't necessarily have them for when everything is going great. You might not need Juan Soto every night when Alonso is going off. You might not need Juan Soto every night when Lindor is at his best. You might not need Max Fried when this offense was hitting all the all the home runs to start the year. You don't need Max Fried necessarily with a healthy Gerrit Cole. You might not need Max Fried every single, start. When you got the torpedo bats doing what they've done for a lot of the season. But when the team is down, when the team is coming off a blown lead, when the team is coming into a game that they desperately need to salvage a series against the Reds, when you're looking to finally break through and not lose your sixth game against the Atlanta Braves, that's when your stars need to show up. And for the New York Mets and the New York Yankees, their big-time offseason acquisitions, their guys are supposed to carry them into the future. Their guys that have been brought here just for these moments showed up last night and gave both of these franchises huge wins in their moments of need. 888-808-1019. We'll get to more of the specifics of each game. Dominguez with a bunch of hits. It's amazing. You know what? Even I have to, what is Aaron Boone going to... It's going to start to bother me now. I have to admit, because... Jason Dominguez got four hits. Trent Grisham got four hits. And now Aaron Boone, he's going to give them both off tomorrow. And it's just going to bother the hell out of me. Both of them aren't going to play tomorrow, and they got four hits each. It's going to drive me absolutely crazy. 888-808-1019. I don't know if you got that joke, but I felt like giving it to you.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anyway.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Woo! Yeah. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 228. As we take you through this Thursday morning, still really hot. I don't know why, but I woke up a little early. I was able to go to bed a little early yesterday because, with my wife being a teacher, and right now it's about testing. Her schedule is a little bit different this last week. It's not a normal day. She's doing a lot of proctoring and different things. So she was able to hang out and get the kids on the bus. So I got a little bit of extra sleep as soon as I got home yesterday. And I woke up and I just had the desire to go out and play nine holes. I don't know why, but I was like, let me go do it. And I was dying out there. It is so freaking hot. But... I was
so
terrible.
You rarely golf and you picked the hottest day of the year?
Yeah, it's not that when I say rarely, I haven't, this is the first time all year, this year, that I'm golfing.
It's about to be in the 80s for the next 10 days, starting tomorrow.
Yeah, no, is it later today or tomorrow?
Oh, actually, no, right, starting later today.
Okay, so it's supposed to be in the 80s later today? Okay, good. Yeah, I don't know what it was. I just don't like doing it. And there's like a little par 3 course like right by my house. So it's not like I went to the golf course or, woke up and decided to, drop a couple $100 to go find a tee time. Like, it's a little par 3 place that takes me an hour to buzz through. Nobody was on it because, nobody else is crazy enough to play golf at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in 93 degree heat. But I don't know what it was. I was like, I'm going to go play golf. I feel like doing it. I felt good. I woke up refreshed. I got a couple extra hours. So I felt good. And then jumped in the pool. It was a nice day. It was a nice day. I had a nice day. I just wanted to let you all know that. And now hopefully it's going to cool off a little bit, but I had a nice day. Then the Yankees gave me a win. The Mets got a win as well. And believe it or not, I'm rooting for the Mets. And I'm rooting for Juan Soto. Although I will have to say one thing. What kind of Yankee fan would I be if after praising Juan Soto for the entire Open, I don't just say one little thing that I just got to ask the question. I'm not trying to be a jerk. Maybe I am. I'm just trying to ask the question. I referenced it in the Open, and they made a significant thing about it on the broadcast as soon as he hit the home run. The most home runs ever, multi-home run games ever by a player under the age of 27, surpassing Jimmy Fox. So I guess this is his 27th multi-home run game. Jimmy Fox had 26. I know it's a cool note, absolutely, and it speaks to how incredible and how still young. I mean, that's the amazing thing. And, you know, it's funny, too, because I thought I was a huge Plan B sucks guy. Fleegs will tell you. I kept saying it every day. Plan B sucks, Plan B sucks, Plan B sucks. And while I think it's fair to still say the Yankees this year, despite being bad for the last 2 weeks, and I know they've been bad, and I know they're doomed for failure and they'll never win with Boone or Cashman. I know. But I think you could say this team this year is better than it would have been had they signed Juan Soto. I've actually come around on that. We'll see how the rest of this year looks like offensively, but I still believe in a lot of these guys. And obviously Max Fried without Gerrit Cole has been, I don't know where this team would be if they didn't sign Max Fried. Like, that's how important he's been. So I think it's fair to say this team is better than it would have been with Juan Soto. Having said that, when you hear numbers like this about under the age of 27, it's a 15-year deal. And who knows if I'm going to be able to say that next year or the year after or the year after or the year after or the year after, if you get my drift. So I still think I'd rather have Juan Soto on the Yankees, considering it's going to be a 15-year proposition. All 15 probably won't be great, but we get it. But so the idea that he's doing things still at under the age of 27 or, you know, before he turns 28 or whatever it is, at 27 or younger, like, it's crazy. And this speaks to it, like, how good he's been at such a young age. But at the same time, I have to admit, when I'm listening to him in the post game, and he's talking about getting emotional about it, and that he knows what he's chasing, and believe me, he put the wins first. I'm not saying he's selfish in any way. But I'm not trying to say this was more important to him than the win. That's not where I'm going here. But isn't it who even is aware of this? And is it that? It's a nice little note that lets you know how good he's been and how young he is. That's really what it speaks to me. Like, wow, he's still only 27. I feel like I've been saying Juan Soto's name for 100 years. Like, Juan Soto's been one of the best players in the league for how long? It feels like a decade. And yet he's 27. But to, like, be aware of that in the moment and get emotional because you hit 27 multi-homer games and beat out Jimmy Fox. Did any of us know Jimmy Fox had the record? Did any of us think of how many multiple home run games before the age of 27? Like, sometimes, and even as a Yankee fan, sometimes they'll put up that stuff and it'll be like the youngest since Mickey Mantle. You hear that a lot with Mickey Mantle, obviously came up as a young kid. Like, oh, the youngest since Mickey Mantle, the first player to do this before the age of 26 since Mickey Mantle. And I'm like, yeah, it's a cool note, but is it like anything of significance? So I ask you, Met fans, is this significant to you? Enough where, and is it odd, maybe a little bit, that it's so significant to Juan Soto that he hit multiple home runs in 27 games to pass Jimmy Fox, that up until 20 minutes ago, I had no idea that was Jimmy Fox was the guy who had that record. So I don't know. But it doesn't change the fact that he's carrying the team right now. He's doing an incredible job. He's 27 years old, and Met fans, like, this is it, too. And I know he's been hot for a month now, but they've been losing, so it's been hard to have this conversation. But this is what you got. Like, and this is why all of us, myself included, I know right there, I was just perplexed that he got emotional about it, but who am I? God bless you, Juan. But this is why guys like me were curious about what was going on at the start of the year. Because it wasn't just the struggles, it was the body language, it was everything. There was enough there to just wonder why. And enough there to make a question mark about it. And it wasn't to say he's miserable as a Met. I know some people went that route, of course. But that's just, nonsense. We don't know that. We have no idea what the reason was, but it was just odd. But now for the entire month of June, and it feels like last night was the night to really celebrate it. Like, last night with the win, the multi-home run, this thing with Jimmy Fox, and the youngest of 27 and under, and everything, to really finally take a step back and say, this is the player that the New York Mets have now for the next 15 years. This is the guy who's capable of carrying a team. This is a guy who is an absolute stud, who knows the strike zone as well as anyone this side of Barry Bonds and Tony Gwynn and Teddy Baseball, like, you know, Ted Williams. This is a special, special player. And the Met fan has wanted that since day one, and it took 2 months. 2 months out of 15 years. You'll live. And watching this guy right now, he's otherworldly. He is a great, great player, and he is going to be a great, great Met. And, I mean, most likely he's going to go into the Hall of Fame wearing a Met cap. And it's nights like tonight, and you watch him, and just everything about him, and that same, you know, the home run looks the same. He hits that home run, he takes a couple steps back into his right, like he looks like Juan Soto of old. And he's producing like it. And hopefully it's going to be enough to kind of get this team hot and get this offense going, because they have struggled all year. And that's really, I heard Evan in the afternoon show talking today about, you know, who's better or whose struggles are more significant. And I'm just being honest. The reason I would say the Mets to that question is because the offense has been a problem all year. Runners in scoring position has been a problem for the Mets all year. This isn't unique. The Yankees' offense, as bad as it looks right now, still lead the American League in runs scored, had multiple months of being one of the better teams in baseball with runners in scoring position. This is the one thing that has seemed to be killing them over the last 2 weeks is relatively new to the last 2 weeks. The Mets' runners in scoring position, and this offense has struggled all year. And then I know you could say, well, the Mets' pitching has been great all year, and that's kind of been their struggling here too, and that's fair, but you'll always question the pitching lab once it's like an older player suddenly struggling. It's not just, hey, he's struggling, it's, is it over? And unfortunately for the pitching lab, and when you guys have like Griffin Canning and Paul Blackburn and, you know, converted relievers, and like when they start to falter and you're dealing with injuries, like it's just a natural question on whether or not was it just an incredible first couple months with these guys? Or is it just a blip on the radar? Like it's a different kind of thing. So I would tell you that the Mets' struggles concern me a little bit more. Plus, I think Philadelphia is a better competition than Tampa Bay, who still hasn't really played a lot of road games and won't do anything at the trade deadline when Philadelphia may very well. So we'll see. But last night was a good night for both teams. Max Fried, Juan Soto, leading their teams to victory. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Jeff in Florida. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. Good. Yeah, the interesting thing about the multi-home run thing to me is that, first of all, I was just looking it up because I was curious. He's not in the top 10 of home runs among guys up through, you know, counting their 27 World season. So he's had a bunch of them without having... And Cole, he's not really known as a home run hitter.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. So he's not in the top 10 for home runs hit by people under 27.
Correct.
He just happens to have the most multi-home run games.
Correct.
So he has them actually, in bunches. Yeah, okay, I can see that, yeah.
I mean, he's not really known as a home run hitter. I think he had a career high, 44 for the Yankees?
Yeah, last year was it as high as I wanted to say like 41 or 42. I don't know if it was as high as 44, but it was his highest of his career. Yeah,
he never hit 40, but the other thing is the interesting thing about Jimmy Fox has had the record for most home runs for just hit 300 home runs. It turns out one that's got more is the only reason that Cashman still has a job. A-Rod, obviously, which who knows how many of those were legitimate, how many weren't, but. But anyway, as far as the Mets, I was going to say, and I'm one of those guys, maybe I'm biased because of my name, but I think McNeil is a really good player that just sometimes is too hard on himself. I feel the best version of the Mets is when he's playing well, and he's playing almost every day. And that the catch, I think, was everything. I mean, yeah, could they have recovered? Sure, but the way that the offense has been struggling, especially in big spots, like you said, if they get down 2-0, who knows if Holmes even gets out of the second or third inning? He may have struggled, but
yeah, no doubt. I mean, that is that to me. That is, and thank you for the call, Jeff. That is absolutely a game-changing home run robbery. It just is. Listen, there's no. I'm not saying they can't score those runs. I'm not saying Juan Soto doesn't hit two home runs, or that they don't, you know, win this game necessarily. But it's a completely different vibe if they fall behind 2-0. Completely different vibe. Immediately, you get the punch in the face of falling behind 2-0 to the Atlanta Braves, and the manager has even come out and said, the manager talks about how the at bats have changed when they're down runs, and that chasing has been a problem for them. He's put more emphasis on the starting pitching than I even have. Like, he's the, you know, Mendoza has talked about how the starting pitching has really been a problem for them, and clearly they're struggling with it. But I would be more critical, and have been more critical, of the offense than the starting pitching, who's carried them all year. But Mendoza's talked about how the starting pitching has affected the bullpen. He's talking about how the starting pitching and falling behind in games has affected the at-bats of the offense. Like, if Clay Holmes shows up and gives up a two-run bomb in the first inning, it is a different feel to that game. And not only that, the way he caught that ball, and you know, maybe I'm making too much out of it, like in the manner in which he caught it, but like for just a natural athlete, if he just runs a ball in the gap and makes a diving catch, that's an incredible play too, depending on what it would be. But I love the timing of it, because that is, he looked like an experienced outfielder. Like, it's one thing if he just had to run full stop, made the catch, bounced into the wall, and we'd be like, wow, what a great play. What a, you know, that's a better jump than I would have expected McNeil got or whatever. That's like, that's athleticism. This was, he was there, and he slowed his pace, and he timed it perfectly. Like, that is an experienced outfield play. That is a play you want, like, that's a play you expect great center fielders to make. Andrew Jones makes that play. Like, it's not just the speed to chase it down. It's getting there, recognizing that you have the time, slowing yourself, timing that jump, timing that leap, and making that play. I have to admit, I was absolutely floored that he made the play like that. I was in stunned disbelief how good that play looked. How hard that play is, how perfect he made that timing. I was really impressed, and I think that's the kind of play that galvanizes the team, and hopefully it's the type of win that galvanizes the team. That's the kind of win you need. You got that play, Clay Holmes pitching relatively well, Soto with the two bombs against the Atlanta Braves. Hopefully that's the kind of win that can spur, that can like start this process of winning. Even the Yankees, like they didn't have, to me, last night was just a good win. And it was a shutdown performance from Max Fried, who made, talking about defensive plays as well. I know Trevino's running, a catcher, but he gets Trevino on like a swinging bunt and misplays it. It bobbles off the glove and still has the time to go pick it up barehanded and throw completely off balance and throw an absolute bullet to Rice at first. That was an incredible play. He is great off the mound. I mean, what doesn't Max Fried do for this team right now? It's crazy. But that was just a good win. Like, there was nothing too special about it, the opponent being the Cincinnati Reds. I know the Reds had their own little five-game winning streak against the New York Yankees over the course of the last 2 years. But it wasn't anything. It was just a good, solid win. The offense finally woke up. There were still incidents in this game that drive you nuts. Like early on, bases loaded, nobody out. They score one run. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. And Rice having, you know, on the tag up play, having to go back to the bag. I mean, that's I almost, the idea he still scored on that is crazy, and we can laugh about it now. But my goodness, what the hell is that? They continue to give you, like, one play that makes you scratch your head every day. Now, to be fair, and you know how I push back on it, that's a baseball problem. I'll still say it. But we don't care as Yankee fans. We're frustrated the Yankees are doing it. But look at the Reds. Max Fried on the ropes, two outs, runners at first and second, and they get picked off the second base to end the inning. And that's Terry Francona in his brand-new boat chair sitting in the dugout. We saw Pete Crow Armstrong last night for the Cubs. A guy tags up from second base and scores because he thinks his catch is the third out of the inning. Like, we are seeing this all over baseball. There is a real discussion, right? Carlos Rodon and excuse me, Carlos Rodon yesterday and Clark Schmidt the other day with the no-hitter have kind of, at least in New York, have rejuvenated the conversation about pitchers and not you know, why do we not push pitchers further? They're getting hurt anyway. Why don't we allow why is 100 a magic number in that conversation about baseball? But another conversation around all of baseball right now should be the lack of fundamentals and the lapses of focused baseball. It's all over the place. The Mets have shown it. The Braves have shown it. Just watching Mets Braves over the last 2 weeks, how many instances have we seen? Watching Yankees Reds over the course of the last couple of days, this series, it's mistake after mistake from both clubs. We see it all over the place. In Pittsburgh, O'Neill Cruz letting balls just roll past him, doesn't chase it down. Same thing in the first game of Roman Anthony in Boston. Like, we see it all over. It's a major problem inside baseball right now. Let's go to Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Totally agree with you, Chris. And I mean, like the Reds matched. Actually, they felt, you know, it was like the Reds didn't want to let the Yankees, you know, they wanted their mistakes to be even bigger than the Yankee mistake. And that De La Cruz, let me tell you something. That dude, as gifted a player as he is, what's between his ears? Because when, I mean, that was like a Little League thing that Bryce did at third base. That was some kind of a crazy Little League thing.
You know what? I was watching. My son didn't want to go to sleep tonight, so I watched the Boone. I got to go back and rewatch the Boone press conference. I was kind of watching it while I was doing something or listening to it. I didn't hear what he said about Rice there. Did he explain it in the postgame? I got to go back and listen to it. Did he leave too early?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, yeah, there you are.
Yeah, hi.
I didn't hear what you said. I didn't hear what you said.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was saying, man. I watched the Boone postgame, but I did it while I was with my son, so I was like listening to it. I forgot if he said anything about Rice. I got to go back and watch it on that play at third base on if he just left early or what. Because Rice at third base, if you didn't see it, Rice is at third, fly ball to center field that's absolutely deep enough. He takes off, stops after two steps. And what's weird about it for me, because even if he thought he left early, there would have been some trepidation or some like looking at the field and where the ball is. He just takes two steps, stops, turn backs, touches the base again, and then just heads home. There's no thought process. There's no like, oh man, I messed up. It almost looked like that was the plan. It was so bizarre.
And then and De La Cruz again, if he had any,
he has no
like aware level of awareness. He was he stood there and held the ball while Rice was running home. Again, I tell you, that guy.
He's an incredible player. The Yankees couldn't get him out.
He's an incredible player.
He glides like he's on skates running. It's unbelievable. But at the same time, he made a bunch of mistakes. How about the play on the Dominguez ground ball that rolls up his arm? He's got Stanton running on first base. He could take the ball himself to second and have a force at second base. Stanton can't run. And instead, he forces the throw to first base, and Dominguez beats it out, and the Yankees have bases loaded. He made a bunch of mental mistakes and physical mistakes throughout the series.
And he made that great play when Judge screamed him out. I don't get, you know, I don't get, but I want to just, and what you said about Fried, you know, the superlatives, there aren't enough superlatives for that guy. I mean, it's like, it's just one of the better pitching performances over the first half of a baseball season for any player in like the last 10 years, 15 years, he's there when they need him. Like you said,
no doubt.
And that game that they lost, I'm pretty sure that he left with the lead. Didn't the bullpen come in and like kind of mess up
one game that he lost with a Off a loss?
Off the loss. Yeah,
I don't remember the one game off the loss. His last outing against, it was the first game of the series against Baltimore. And thank you for the call, Steve. In that game, he left tied 3-3. I can't remember if the Yankees were off a loss there. No, they were off a win because they won the last game against the Angels. So that wasn't the one loss off of a loss. I'm trying to think what the loss of off a loss was, because he's 9-1 in 10 starts after a Yankee loss. I'm not sure off the top of my head which one was the loss. Was the Dodger game off a loss? It wasn't his last outing because they won the last game of the Angels series turning into Baltimore. But he did, in that game, which the Yankees lost his last start, he left tied 3-3, and it wasn't his best outing. And he's really had one bad start. He had the one bad start against the Dodgers. That's it. It was the Red Sox finale. Right. Okay. So he lost the final game of the Red Sox series. They got shut out. He pitched well. He's had a couple of his losses. He lost a tough game in Seattle where he pitched really well. The only bad start he's had is the Dodger game. And the last Baltimore game, he wasn't himself. He gave up two runs early. He really had nothing in the first two innings and then found himself, but ended up giving up the lead. They were up 3-2, and he gives up the third run to tie it. Was not his best performance. But, I mean, look, I don't know where they would be without him. And I would say this. I don't know if it's one of the great first half performances ever. I mean, he doesn't have the lowest ERA in baseball. Like, there are guys having very good seasons right now you could put up with his season. But for Yankees specific and how important he's been to this team, I would tell you that even through, I'm sure it's recency bias, and we all love Gerrit Cole, and he's been a great Yankee. He's had his moments, obviously, the biggest, the fifth inning of the World Series, even though he pitched great in that game otherwise. And the real big one is the wild card game in 21 against the Red Sox. He was dealing with a hamstring injury and just didn't give the Yankees a chance to win that game. That's really Cole's down moment. But other than that, he's been a great Yankee, won the Cy Young Award 2 years ago. And I can't think, even as great as he's been and winning a Cy Young even that season, I don't know if there's ever been a stretch in a Yankee uniform where Cole has been better than this. The last year, in 2019, as a Houston Astro, he was incredible in the second half. He didn't lose a game since, since June. He had a great run with Houston. But in a Yankee uniform, I don't know if there's ever been a stretch where Gerrit Cole has been as good as Max Fried is right now. He's just completely reliable. You know exactly what you're going to get, and the Yankees have an excellent chance to win. He's not giving up home runs, really. He's just been great. He's been absolutely terrific. And last night, again, everything was working. The changeup works. And listen, give it to the Yankees, because he's having arguably the best year of his career. Best year of his career. They tweaked some things. They worked on the cutter. His changeup is better this year. The Yankees have done a really nice job with him. The Yankees have done a really nice job with Fernando Cruz, who pitched really well in this game last night. The Yankees have done a good job with pitching. I mean, right now they don't compare to what the Mets have done, so the Mets pitching lab is overshadowed what the Yankees have done, and clearly they haven't been as successful. There's a bunch of guys who also failed with the Yankees, but the Yankees turn a lot of guys in the bullpen really well, and they've even turned up Max Fried to the best version of himself, and right now they've needed it, and last night they needed every bit of that. And he's been incredible. And just last night, to me, it just jumped out to me that it's Fried and Soto, because they're kind of connected. That was the pivot. I mean, what was it, 24 hours later? A day and a half after Juan Soto signed with the Mets, the Yankees pivoted right to Max Fried. That was the move. And he would not be here. You could argue Goldschmidt would still be here. You could argue Devin Williams would still be here with Juan Soto. I don't know if that's the case, but you could argue it. You could trade Nestor Cortez. You could sign $12 million to give to Goldschmidt. I don't think Bellinger is here for $25 million, and I don't think at all Max Fried is here. And he's been huge for this team. And Carlos Rodon, too, which, I'm sorry. And I heard Keith talking about it again, and not to call you out, Keith. You know I love you. But, I don't understand. And Sal said the same thing. We'll get into it a little bit later about, you know, being tough on Rodon because he couldn't go seven in one start. The guy's eighth in all of baseball in innings pitched. It's not like he's hidden from this stuff. He's been great.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.